Do you clearly understand what you're undertaking? Just a few moments ago, I asked our parents that question with regards to their baptisms, and now I ask it of the assembly. Do you clearly understand what we're undertaking when we gather here for our Sunday Mass? For when we gather here for our Sunday Mass, we are going to the mountain. And this Feast of Transfiguration gives us a very beautiful way to understand what we are about. The Transfiguration, you see, is a template of what we do every time we gather on this mountaintop to encounter our God. The Gospel begins with Jesus going up the mountain with Peter, James, and John. Three of them. There's 12 of them, you know. 25% showed up. Haven't you heard that statistic before? I don't know what the other apostles were doing. Maybe they stayed up late the night before. Maybe they decided to go for a walk instead of going to the mountaintop. Maybe they were watching a TV show. I have no idea. I'm sure their parents were frustrated. But Peter, James, and John went up the mountaintop with Jesus. And when they got up to the mountaintop, they saw Jesus transfigured, right? And he became dazzling white. That reading from Daniel gives us an idea of what that's all about. For you see, in order to be in God the Father's presence, we must be perfect, pure. That's why in the book of Revelations it talks about the great host in white. That's why when we come to our mountaintop, one of the first things we do as we gather is we ask for mercy. We ask for forgiveness. The act of contrition is prayed, and then during the Gloria, the great song of the angels, we again ask for mercy. For one must be pure to enter this encounter. And then what happens in the Gospel? Then Moses and Elijah appear and Jesus is conversing with them. The law and the prophets. It's what we do when we break open our scriptures. We break open for ourselves the law and the prophets to strengthen us in our journey, to prepare us for this encounter that we are going to have with God the Father. And then once we have been prepared in this way, then our priest leads us into an encounter with God. Now the encounter begins with the priest basically gathering us in a huddle. It's almost like a mini pep rally before we do this awesome task of even addressing God the Father. And so the priest says, "The Lord be with you." And you say, "Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." And so the priest in our midst gathers us and rallies us and prepares us. And then the priest, speaking for all of us, begins to address God the Father. It's an awesome task. It's to go before the Father is a scary thing. And so the priest then begins our prayer. Now, back in Lent, I introduced a Eucharistic prayer setting where I could actually sing it. And a couple people have asked, "Well, why do you do that?" And let me tell you why when I do that. I do it because, one, I can do it without looking at the book. Something about a song puts the words in your head. But then I also do it because when you sing a prayer, I believe, you can capture the emotion and the passion that's in the midst of it. So after our priest has rallied us and prepared us to enter into this moment with the Father, he then speaks for us. "It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Father most holy, through your beloved Son Jesus Christ, your word through whom as our Savior and Redeemer, incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin, fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people, he stretched out his hands as he endured his passion, so as to break the bonds of death and manifest the resurrection. And so with the angels and all the saints, we declare your glory as if one voice we acclaim. And then the whole assembly, just like the crowds did when Jesus was going into Jerusalem, we sing our hosannas. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And then the priest then again turns and addresses the Father. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the night he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. Once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. And then, with Christ now present on our altar, the priest calls from the assembly your profession of faith, the mystery of faith. And then you say, when we eat this bread, when we drink this blood, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. It's a statement of faith that what is happening here, we are a part of. And then the priest continues our prayer to the Father. Only now the prayer is directed. And so now the priest first prays to the Father, asking for the gift of unity. And then after the gift of unity, we pray for the whole church. And after we pray for the whole church, we pray for those who have died and gone before us. And after we pray for those who have died and gone before us, we pray that all of us, as our opening prayer today said, will become co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, this bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have found us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope and Joseph our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep. asleep in the hope of the resurrection. And all who have died in your mercy, welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, and with Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And then at the conclusion of the Eucharistic prayer, with Christ now present before us on the altar, the priest speaking for us all encapsulates what Jesus' entire life was about, giving honor and glory to the Father. And so holding up the Christ now present among us in the Eucharist, the priest addressing God the Father says, through him and with him and in him, O God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. And then the whole assembly says a great amen. Amen, amen, amen. And the cloud of God's power has been manifest. And the miracle again has happened. Christ, our Savior, is present among us. And the first thing we do, after professing our faith and our creed, after praying our Eucharistic prayer, the first thing we do is collectively we turn to the Father and we pray as disciples pray, Our Father who art in heaven. And only then do we start to speak directly to the Jesus now in our midst. For the priest, after praying to the Father that he deliver us from all evil, turns to the Jesus now on the altar and says, Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins. For in the story, what happens to Peter, James, and John when the manifestation of the Father's power is before them? They fall prostrate in fear, which is probably a correct response to that power of God. And just as Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, peace, he says to us, my peace I give you. Then having shared that peace, we continue to appeal to the Christ now present to us. Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, have mercy on us. And then the priest holds up the Lamb of God before us and says, behold. Any time in Scripture where you see that verb, behold, it is saying something powerful of God is before you. And so the priest says, behold the Lamb of God. And then each of us, looking at that presence, speak the words of the centurion that day. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul will be healed. Then we each take into ourselves the body and blood of Christ, and our mountaintop experience comes to its climax. And then the church in its wisdom then gives us that moment where in the silence of our own hearts we can say, as did Peter, James, and John on the mountaintop, it is good that we are here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being in my life. What is your will for me? Now, this mountaintop experience that we celebrate every time we gather, it doesn't exactly end like the gospel. For you notice in the gospel, Jesus says to them as they're going down off the mountain, keep this to yourself, he says. Don't tell anybody about it until I am risen from the dead. My friends, he's risen from the dead now. So when we go down off our mountaintop, we are sent by the church to go and to live the gospel by our lives so that other people, seeing that light that we have encountered in this mountaintop experience, will be drawn to it as well. That's the mission. We are sent forth to be that light, that Eucharist in all our relationships. Tomorrow will be the 24th year from the moment when I was consecrated by Archbishop Kelly to be this servant of our mountaintop experiences. Just about every day from that moment, I've been to the mountaintop on weekends several times. And I can tell you, I love it. I love leading God's people, leading you to the mountaintop. And every journey to the mountaintop goes deeper and deeper and deeper into this power which is God in our lives. And I can tell you, and I want to witness to you, my trust in that power in my life has just gotten deeper and deeper and deeper. And I've been doing this now for going on 24 years. And I want you at St. Bernadette to know that my experience of praying with you on the mountaintop is some of the richest experiences I've had in my whole priesthood. And that's because of what you bring. You bring a hunger to this, a desire to know Jesus Christ in a way that just blesses me. Thank you for bringing that. This is what our Mass is all about. Do you clearly understand now what you're undertaking? Huh?
Yes.
Good.